Previously on Thomas and the Bible, Artaxerxes, king of Persia, writes a letter to Ezra telling him that he and the Israelites could return to Jerusalem. Ezra makes his people fast because he didn't want to ask the king for an army. After 12 days, they arrive in Jerusalem and put the treasure in the temple. They kill some animals for God. God accuses them of interracial marriage. Ezra rips off his garments and pulls out his hair and proceeds to beg forgiveness. The Israelites confess they took foreign wives and kill yet more animals for God, and then send away their wives and sons. Thomas, your count of two.
Well, thank you as usual to, as now usual, to my Twitter friend who said he doesn't need plugs, so he's even better than you. No, I don't know. he's still Harley on, oh, you know what? I don't have my phone with me. That's why I was a little distracted. I was trying to check. It's Secular Lad. That's right. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I'm giving him plugs anyway. I don't care. At Secular Lad. I think he has more followers than I do, but, I have more listeners than he has followers. So maybe somebody wants to follow him that, you know, doesn't follow me. Cause, you guys got to follow me. I don't have very many followers on there. At T and the B. Come on. But anyway, yeah, thanks again for doing an intro, and, I was thinking about it. It's funny that, I felt bad because I realized he has to listen to the show every time now. Like, there's any way you can record him without having to listen. Harley, go ahead and do that, you know, if you can find some way, maybe just to hire a writer to write that, and then you don't have to listen to this boring show. Okay, so I'm adjusting my levels here, which I somehow have to do every time I start recording. I don't know why. I'm keeping my promise. I said I'd record a new one today. It is today. And you can't accuse me of lying about that. It's definitely today. It's not tomorrow. And so not much in the way of news since I just recorded yesterday. But yeah, still, you know, working on debuting the project, which I said would debut next week. And I said plenty about that, so I'm not going to say any more, except the one thing I forgot, just real quick. Sorry to, distract from the Bible here, because it's so interesting. Another goal of the new show called Atheistically Speaking, is that I want to have guests on, atheist guests. I guess believers too, if they would come on, I don't know, but, it's not going to be just an apologetic show. So that wouldn't be the focus, but if there ever was somebody, a believer who looked like a good guest that we wanted to have on, I'd definitely have him or her on. But anyway, I want to have guests on and actually challenge them. There's a lot of good shows that have guests on, and it's pretty much just it is hard when you're talking to someone, when you have someone on your show, and I've been on other people's shows. It's hard, you know, you are both atheists usually, and usually want to agree on everything and kind of be like-minded and stuff. But on our show, we want to be able to ask tougher questions or just find points of disagreement and talk it out. Just because it's more interesting. I'm kind of bored with agreement, especially if it's not true agreement, if it's just sort of accepted agreement and not an actually unspoken disagreement. I'm not really interested in that. I'm not really interested in just kind of agreeing with people, even though I disagree and not mentioning it. So that's a quick thing on the new show. Again, look for that next week. Hopefully, if everything goes right. There's a lot on a show and a lot to do for a podcast, I'm remembering, as I'm trying to publish a new one here. I've gotten a lot of it done, but I'm still waiting from other people who are kind of helping on certain things. So it's not all directly under my control, but, you know, I'll get it done. So, okay, so we're on Nehemiah 1, and we're going to read through, I believe, Nehemiah 4. Let me check that. Yes, Nehemiah 4. And I was just trying to read some background on this book. This is as far as I can tell, I think it's combined with Ezra in most Bibles. I'm pretty sure it's referred to as like Nehemiah, Ezra, and Wikipedia. Wikipedia is about as far as I'm going to go. And no, I've actually used plenty of other sites for research, but for now, until things in the Bible get a little more interesting, I've upgraded from nothing, which was what I was doing for First and Second Chronicles. I was just doing no research because it was awful. I didn't even want to look at it. I'm going on Wikipedia now. That's where we are, Bible. That's where we stand. And Wikipedia says, I don't know if they do it so much anymore, but people used to make fun of Wikipedia a lot. You know, like, some source that is, Wikipedia. And it's actually the best source of anything. Like, it's amazingly good. And anytime it's questionable sources, it tells you. It's like, the article you're going to read is not suitable for children or people who want to look like they know what they're talking about. It's an incredibly good resource. And if anyone disagrees, I'd love to hear why, because I found it to be amazing. And the way I know is because I checked on Wikipedia, like, is Wikipedia good? And it said, yeah. So I don't know how would one check on Wikipedia when the only resource that I know of in the world is Wikipedia? You know, I don't know. I guess you could Google Wikipedia, but then you'll probably just land back on Wikipedia, right? I don't know. There's only one site, and it's Wikipedia, so I don't know how you check it against other, against what? I don't know. Books, I guess? You could, like, find some books and, like, I guess, like, turn the pages of them or something, and then there's the words on the book say things, and you try to verify that with Wikipedia, I guess. I don't know. I'm just trying to think here. I don't really know. Yeah, you know, I probably sound dumb because I haven't thought about this before, but... But anyway, I mean, maybe I'll Wikipedia later how to check on Wikipedia. I'll kind of look that up, do some research on Wikipedia. Wikipedia says this is the last, together with Ezra, is the final chapter in the historical narrative of the Hebrew Bible, which would be pretty neat for me. I'd be a big fan of that. Although... I'm seeing a list here that includes books that we haven't read. So I don't know. It says final chapter. So maybe that means we're like only 75% done or something. I don't know. But anyway, it'd be nice to be done with all that history that's not interesting. Okay. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. That's a sentence. That's how it starts. And it's not a heading either. It just says the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Chislu, which is after February, I don't know. It's after February at some point in the 20th year. As I was in the... There I was. I love this first person stuff. It's still killing me. In the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, and he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, as best I recall, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days. I remember it was about 0.0 days, I think, and fasted and prayed before God of the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them. Yeah, he keeps his covenant. Everyone he's had a covenant with is pretty much dead. But I guess you could say in some loose manner of speaking, he keeps a covenant. I don't know what that means, really. What has the covenant done for anybody? What has the covenant done for me lately? Seriously, it's nothing, like, there's nothing in return. Yeah, I guess occasionally they can say that God wins them a battle, but I think they're all dead now. That love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou hast commanded thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet I will gather them from thence, and I will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Is God going to read this? Is this just a letter to God? Should we be reading this? I feel like this is kind of a personal letter to God. You know, it feels a little weird to be reading someone else's letters. I don't know. It's like seeing someone else's Facebook. It's like, I feel uncomfortable about this. I don't like doing that. So, I guess we'll keep reading. But this sounds like it's between Nehemiah and God, to be honest with you. I don't really know what we're doing with it. Okay, Nehemiah 2. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine, and I gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence, not in 20 years, apparently. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. And said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. What? And I said unto the king, I don't get that part. So he's talking to the king and he prays, I guess, real quick. He's like, hold that thought. Okay. And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the king, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house. And for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river, and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. And we'll at least say, I like how plain this language is. It's not that confusing. It's pretty plain. I don't even know if I need to sum it up. Basically, the guy's the cupbearer, and he's apparently a Jew, even though he's a cupbearer for the non-Jew king. You gotta be Jew king. He's just sad, because one day he's like, man, we don't have our city anymore. And then he's just asking the king if he can go back and rebuild the walls. And he gave him, asked him for letters to, you know, let the people let him pass and stuff. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant and Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem, and I was there 3 days. And I arose and thought, you know, this first person is really taking away the suspense, because if it wasn't first person, this guy could be killed at any minute. But it's first person, so we know at some point he must have written it down, right? I was there 3 days. And I arose in the night and I died. Wait a minute. No. And I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by gate of the valley, even before the dragon well. Were there dragons back then? And to the dung port. Well, dragons leave lots of dung, so that makes sense. Dung port. And viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Sure, blame it on your horse. I'm sure that's what it was. Oh, well, I would have gone, but my horse couldn't fit anywhere. Then went I up in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then I said unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. How many times are we going to hear that? Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. That was easy. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant and the Ammonite...
There you go.
Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then I answered them and said unto them, the God in heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. I don't know if that was them responding or not, but that's the end of Nehemiah 2. We're in Nehemiah 3. Moving right along here. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiel. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho. And next to them builded Zachar, the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasanah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next to them repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah. It's Urijah with a J, but maybe it's Uriah, I don't know. Urijah. I think it would be Urijah, even though it should be Uriah. Who cares? The son of Koz. And next unto them repaired Meshulam, the son of... It's just saying who repaired what. Actually, oh, okay, this is a big list of things. I didn't notice. It took me a second because it wasn't written in its normal pattern. But now apparently it's just listing who's repairing things with them. And it just says, and next to that person was this person. And next to that person was this person. And so we'll skip. The valley gate was repaired by this guy, set the doors thereof, bars thereof. Yeah, this is just enumerating out the who did what, if that's the right word. But the gate of the fountain repaired Shoa, yeah, okay, still doing it. It's repaired next to him. I just don't care about these details, they're not important. Some people repaired that, some people repaired this and that and this and that. And that, and that's the entire chapter, holy crap. And between, here's the last sentence, I'll read the last couple. After him repaired Malchiah, the goldsmith's son, that's what the whole thing was, it was just that. The goldsmith's son, you know, this guy, under the place of Nethinim's and of the merchants, over against the gate Mifkad, and going up to the corner. And between the going up of the corner, under the sheep gate, repair the goldsmiths and merchants. So let's see if the final chapter is actually interesting. And it looks like it's different, so we'll read it. But it came to pass... Wait, is it? We'll see. It came to pass that when Sanballat had heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth. Just once, I want to be wroth. I want someone to look at me and be like, uh-oh, Thomas is wroth. I feel like it, you know, involves being just kind of red and like, you know, just like something like that. Ooh, he's pretty wroth right now. See how wroth he looks? Boy, does he look wroth. Now, I've seen people who looked wroth, but he is the David Lee Roth of, I don't know, it's too obvious. I can't think of any way to make that funny. And took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Okay, I won't mock any Jews when I'm wroth, but you know, when you're wroth, you say things, okay? You say things that you don't always mean, and you know, mocking the Jews, I guess, is one of those things that people say sometimes. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they..." Yeah, that's what they do. They sacrifice. "Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Oh, ho, ho, ho. I don't know if he's making fun of them. He's just saying pretty plain things. Like, "Well, what's with these Jews? They're going to rebuild? You know, they're going..." This is why I think it's just someone else's version of it. Like, if someone was making fun of you or something, they wouldn't... That's not what they would do. Like, they just say the things that you're trying to do. And that's it. Like, in a weird tone, maybe. I don't trust this writing. Look at them. They're going to sacrifice. You know, you're going to be Jews and, you know, pray and stuff. Look at them. "Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, 'Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall.'" Oh yeah, now he's like saying, like, "Oh, even a fox can break your wall. 'Hear, O God, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and not let their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders.' So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the wall of Jerusalem were made up, that the breaches began to be stopped. Then they were very wroth, and conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, 'The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall.'" So this thing earlier with the making fun of them, that was a little to me like when, like in sports, when the one team or the quarterback or whoever's doing it, be like, "Yeah, you know, they said I couldn't do it. You know, but I, you know, like they'll just make, like nobody said you couldn't do anything. Nobody says like, oh, he can't do that. And then he does, you know, that's usually not what anyone says, especially about sports where the stuff, weird stuff happens all the time and everybody, so one team wins every time. It's not like no one goes and says like, this team can't win. It's usually like, well, this team, I don't think this team's going to win. They could. Most likely the other team's going to win. And then they said we couldn't do it. They said we were foolish. I don't think that's what they said. That's what this sounded like to me. They said we couldn't build these walls. They said a fox could knock these walls over. Well, they were right. If an army of foxes came and destroyed our walls and we were all killed. But still. So then, and Judah said, nope, I already read that. "And our adversaries said, 'They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease.' And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came..." So this is like Jew on Jew crime, I guess. This is sort of Jewish infighting. Like the surrounding cities don't want... I suppose that makes sense because at some point they were kind of split up into different tribes and all that. "They said unto us 10 times, 'From all places when ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you.' Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places... I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows, And I looked up and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us that God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone to his work. There you go. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows. And the habergeons and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they which that bare burdens, with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. That must have been slow going. How about just set the weapon like right by you, and then do the work? Because I don't think... Is someone really going to come up to you fast enough that you don't have time to grab a weapon? You know, like, how fast are these people moving? I think you can go ahead and, you know, because if they're that fast, I don't think they're having the weapon in the one hand that you're not even paying attention to. I don't think that's going to do it. Or just have someone standing guard to and ready to blow a horn. And that way everyone can kind of work. And, you know, if they blow a horn, then you can grab your weapon. Yeah. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, far one far from another. In what place, therefore, hear ye the sound of the trumpet? Oh, there you go. So they did what they took my advice. Resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, I said unto the people, Let every one with his servant lodge in within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us, and a labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one put them off for washing. So just attack them on that day, washing day. You get a bunch of naked Jews. Well, I guess I'm done. Jeez. Is that right? Is that, can that be right? Am I done? Yeah, I think I'm done. Wow, that was a quicker one than yesterday. So, yeah, I'll just say, oh, by the way, guys, feel free to continue donating. You know, I was actually eyeing a new mic, but I don't have any money because my cat drained me of my bank account. I'm trying to get my cat to pay me back, Mr. Kitty. He's healthy, by the way. Like I said before, I mean, he could drop dead at any time from his heart condition, apparently, but he is back to his old stinky boy self, and that's good, because he's a good kitty, and our kitten is pretty cool. She just claws the shit out of you all the time, though, because she doesn't understand that she has claws. I don't know why that's so hard for a cat to understand. I mean, they should... If anyone should know that they have about claws, it should be a cat, you know? But anyway, let's see, anything else? This is a short one. I feel bad. I feel like I left you hanging here. But, you know, it was a whole chapter of it was nothing. I could have read that, but that doesn't do anybody any good, does it? I don't think so. There's like one person who said, oh, you should read every word of it. I think I replied. I was like, yeah, I remember thinking that until I got, you know, really into it. And then I was like, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. I glance over it and I say whatever it is. So you have the effect of hearing it, you know, like it's not like you don't, you know, it's like all the other words I've read to you that you've forgotten by now. You just kind of vaguely remember what they were. It's like that. All right, well, thanks again to Harley, and, you know, good luck. You'll have to come up with another description for this one for tomorrow, because I'm doing an episode tomorrow. Just trying to stick to my schedule that I've put for myself. And anything else? You could jump on the Facebook. I'm almost to 500 likes. I'm so close. I don't get why so many listeners aren't on the Facebook. I mean, I'm sure you have your reasons. But maybe it's also that a lot of listeners aren't very far in the podcast. I don't know. Maybe they haven't gotten to they're back in 1996 when I started it. So whatever the reason, please get on Facebook.com/TNTheB. Follow me at Twitter. at T and the B, and hit the donate button on the website or on the Facebook. If you're on mobile, it's kind of annoyingly impossible to find. But if you're not on mobile, it's annoyingly easy to find. So do that. And trying to think of anything else. Look forward to the other project. I will keep you updated and see you guys tomorrow. Adios.